You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Coming up right now, we have Anne Daniels, who is president of the New Zealand Nursing Organisation, and she's here to talk about the mega strike tomorrow, which is quite, you know, very prudent coming 2 days after the 53-year anniversary of the New Zealand Equal Pays Act. So, hello, Anne. Thank you so much for being here.
Kia ora. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, we're so happy to have you here. So, for those who don't know, I doubt there's anyone who doesn't know about the New Zealand Nursing Organisation or about the strikes that you guys put on. But if you could pinpoint for people what you are asking for with these strikes as a baseline.
Okay, so the strikes have come about because quite a number of different unions are in the same place, and that is that we've absolutely had no progress on the negotiations that we've had with our various employers, mainly because the lack of progress has been directed by the government to put budget before people. So what does that mean? That means that they're asking us to take a pay cut rather than a pay rise. They're not even actually offering a cost of living a rise. So people are doing it hard out there. And the bills are getting higher, rates, electricity, you know, putting petrol in the car and food. We're all doing it hard. So we deserve to have, at the very least, cost of living pay rise, if not more. But the real reason most of us are actually on strike tomorrow is because we are not being given the budget to actually hire the people to do the jobs. So we're all in the same boat. The teachers don't have enough teachers' aides or teachers. The firefighters don't have enough firefighters nor enough equipment that actually works to go out and rescue people when they need to. Nurses don't have enough nurses. Doctors don't have enough doctors. And it goes on.
It's actually quite tragic, I'd say, is more the word, to see that we had a very large budget this year. There were massive injections into big business, into landlords. 65% of New Zealanders are with the nurses on this strike.
Yes.
It is. Where do you think the miscommunication is? How do you think the government isn't hearing over half of this country?
It's an ideological stance that they're actually taking. They are being led by the far-right ideology, which basically says that profit has to come before people. And the reason why 65% of people are with us in the public is because we are the people. Unions are the people. It's not the unions telling the members of the unions what to do. It's the members of the union telling our leaders, of which I am one, what they want and why. And, you know, as a nurse who works in the ED, when you go to work and you know before you even get there that your ability to do the best job that you can is severely compromised by the decisions, the choices that this current government are making about putting money into billions of dollars into the military, billions of dollars into reiterating whether or not we should do rebuilds of hospitals, losing hundreds of thousands of dollars on reiterating the idea of having different types of ferries, roads, and tobacco, landlords. These are choices. Where do the real people, the workers, lie in all those choices? They don't. It's ideological and it's unacceptable. And this is why the unions are standing up together to actually fight back. And the strength is in that, our unity, our solidarity.
Absolutely. So I suppose you have sort of answered what my next question was going to be, which was sort of your response as a member of a union to Christopher Luxon's comments about the unions. In particular, I believe the comments were towards the teachers' strike, calling them selfish was, I believe, the word he used. How do you feel about that term being used towards you from a politician as someone who is in such a selfless position as not only a nurse but also working in the unions as a nurse?
I suppose I'd just ask the question, is it selfish to want to provide safe care to your patients? Is it selfish for us to want our patients to know that when they come and come to us for help, they're going to get it? They're not going to actually sit in a chair or on the hard floor in an ED emergency for 12, 24 and sometimes up to 48 hours. When somebody rings an ambulance, that they're not going to be told that there is no ambulance coming. And that's literally happening now. When there's somebody that's trapped in a building, that they know that the firefighters are going to actually have the scaffolding ladders that actually work to get them out of that building. When the doctors want to actually put you into surgery, and not on a waiting list that lasts for years while your health deteriorates, is all of this selfish? Maybe it is. Maybe we are being selfish because we want to do what's right.
I think that is a perfect answer. That was exactly what I was looking for. I think I also, in the sense of covering all bases, I know that from the rhetoric that I have heard on the other side of the sort of political spectrum of myself and of you is this idea that we can't just give money away and that they're asking for money as if money is not given away and as if people who ask for money don't get it all the time. I wonder if to sort of silence those claims, what the nurses are asking for in terms of where the injections of money would be, how would that play out in effectively helping our healthcare system get better?
Well, first of all, I'm not an economist, okay? You'd have to ask Craig Rennie for all the details of that kind of thing. But the fact is that tax dollars are generated, as I understand it, by people spending. If they haven't got enough money from their pay to spend, then tax dollars are not actually realised. Money doesn't go into the government coffers, so therefore there's less to actually spend. But then, as I said earlier, it's about a choice of what you spend it on. You know, I don't know about you, but I've always lived on a budget, and I decide what I'm going to spend it on or not. And the first thing I do is actually pay my mortgage. I pay for food, and, you know, a lot of people are making choices about very poor food choices because they're cheaper rather than the good food, vegetables and meat and milk that they should be having. So, you know, it is about economics. We do know that what is being spent on health, for instance, compared to overseas comparable countries, is much less than it used to be. And the government misinformation, which is just perpetual, is just incredible. We know that the data that they're using to say that we're spending more is 2018 old data. They're using GST as part of that calculation, whereas none of the other countries have GST. So it looks good, but it's completely not true. And when you go to work and you know you're not going to be paid the value for the value of what you do, you know, you have to question yourself, particularly when you're young. And a lot of people are doing just that. They're going overseas to Australia where they can get good jobs at much better pay with better work conditions. In the last year, over 19,000 nurses that were registered in New Zealand registered to go and work in Australia. And, you know, the doctors are doing the same thing. Most of the doctors that come from overseas to work in New Zealand only stay here 2 or 3 years and then they disappear overseas to better jobs and conditions. So retention is absolutely important. Pay is important. But the reason why we do our job is even more important. We don't go into the care or the teaching education systems to just look at our paycheck at the end of the day. We go into it for a reason. And that is because we actually care about the people under our care. We care about growing our children into happy, healthy adults. And it's just not happening.
Yeah, I have heard that, again, as an example of that argument that people are saying, oh, well, if they care so much and they want these changes, why are they leaving? And I do think, as you said, that is the most important thing to hammer in, is that people don't become nurses and doctors for the pay. I don't know any nurses or doctors or any of my friends who are in nursing school who that is even remotely on their mind. It is an incredible thing to do, and to belittle them, to ask them why they're leaving and why they would want to have safe staffing and a livable wage, and to call them selfish for wanting that is very intense. I think we're going to have to
wrap up
soon, but I think just to hammer in to the listeners the severity of the situation, when you talk about the nurses in either Te Whatu Ora or the healthcare assistants or anything, and how Health New Zealand has failed to address any of their concerns, I was wondering if you had any examples that could paint a picture of just how dire the situation is in some cases.
There are a lot of examples, and I brought up misinformation earlier because a lot of people will be aware that NZNO, the New Zealand Nurses Organisation, was asking for data regarding safe staffing from Te Whatu Ora for over a year. And that ended up going to the Ombudsman, who told Te Whatu Ora, one, to hand over the information, and two, to apologise to NZNO for withholding it deliberately. And why did they withhold it? Because it showed exactly what we were saying, that we are understaffed and unsafe. And I have just been told that apparently the Prime Minister has said in the House, when he was asked by Chloe Swarbrick whether nurses were safe to go to work in Te Whatu Ora, he said yes, despite the evidence. And what does it take for anybody to actually listen to the evidence? This is an ideological stance. The government doesn't care about the people, and the people are the unions. So this is one of the reasons why, going into the next election, people need to remember this, the misinformation, the lies, and the fact that everybody that is standing up tomorrow is standing up because they care.
Thank you so much, Anne. That is, I think, the perfect note to finish it on. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy, busy schedule to talk with us here at Radio 1. Good luck for tomorrow. I hope that anyone that can support goes out and supports. People who are looking to find their local rallies can look on the New Zealand Nurses Organisation Instagram or on the website or the Facebook, and they will all be available there. Have a great day, Anne. Thank you so much for talking to us. Ngā mihi.
Take care.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.